Welcome to The God Life with Pastor Dolapo Lawal, the lead pastor of the Zoe household. His desire is to bring you to the consciousness of the Zoe that has been made available to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen and be equipped with the Word of God.
So as we're waiting on God, you know, fasting and praying, And the Lord has said to share about as we pray, as we fast. All right. So I'll just give us bullet points. What I think you should know as we fast, and then we'll move from there. All right. Number one is I want you to understand that as we fast, we have to keep in mind the place of faith, the place of faith as we fast. We have to keep in mind the place of faith. And I've often taught us that faith is not, you know, something we use on God. Faith is actually using what you have gotten from God. So the Lord will speak a word. And when the Lord speaks a word, you take the word of God and insist on the manifestation of God's word, irrespective of the circumstance. That is what is called faith. All right, so we must understand the place of faith. And I want you to understand faith today in two dimensions: faith as a fruit of the Spirit and faith as a gift of the Spirit. Faith as a fruit of the Spirit and faith as a gift of the Spirit. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, the Bible tells us, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faith. So faith is expressed as a fruit of the Spirit, all right? And as a fruit of the Spirit, that will mean to live by faith. As a fruit of the Spirit, that will mean to live by faith. What does it mean? Or what do I mean by this? Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now let me explain this. It says from 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is God's power unto salvation, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So when he says from faith to faith, he's speaking in context of salvation. Remember what verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is God's power unto salvation. For, so it means 16 and 17 are together. If you say for, you are saying because. So 16 is absolutely connected to 17. It says, for daring is the righteousness of God revealed. So for daring, what is the daring? The gospel. So for in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now that faith to faith doesn't mean there are different levels of faith. He's saying from a type of faith to another type of faith, or from a kind of faith to another kind of faith. So let's see the context. All right. Romans, let me open that. I was just quoting. Let me open that already. Romans chapter 1. So let's start from verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received apostleship for obedience to the faith, obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. All right. Among whom are ye also called of Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what he's saying. So when he says in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, he's not saying there are levels of faith and there are, you know, there's a level of faith to another level of faith. No, that's not what he's saying. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Some people are joining us for the first time. and are watching or hearing this for the first time, some other people have heard me say this 1,000 times. All right, it's just to make it clear. Hebrews 11 verse 39. It says, all this, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So there is a promise in the Old Testament, all right, which is the promise of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. It says, ye are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, all right. Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 4, wait for the promise of the Father, all right. So there is a promise in the Old Testament, and that promise is the coming of the Christ, which will be, now pay attention, the promise in the Old Testament is not just that Christ will come, all right, because Jesus is the fullness of God coming to the earth. However, you find God giving them typologies of the Christ, even in persons as saviors. So Joseph is a type of savior, is a type of Christ, is a type of Messiah. He's not the Messiah, but he's a type of Messiah. How? When the children of Israel were about to die of famine, he saved them by leading them, taking them out of their home and leading them into Goshen. So you see a movement, taking them out of their home and leading them into Goshen. Moses is a type of Messiah, even though he's not the Messiah. How? He took them out of Egypt and started leading them into the promised land. Joshua, which is Yeshua, is a type of a Messiah. How? He led them out of the wilderness into the land of promise. All right? So what you can find in the Old Testament is you will see God giving typologies of the Messiah. And that's so important. So the Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 39 that this all, having obtained a good report, they did not receive the promise. And we already said what the promise is. The promise is the Spirit. So what makes us different from the Old Testament believers is not just a walk with God, because some of them had a walk with God. It's not just a prayer life, because Elijah is even a reference for the prayer life of a New Testament believer. It's not just giving to God. Listen, they gave more than we do. The Bible says they brought out their treasure such that Moses said, please, guys, stop giving. It's fine. We have enough now. It's not just devotion, all right? People had devotions with God. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and it was translated. Do you know the meaning of that? The implication of that is that Enoch knew what everybody did not know. And God didn't leave him to be around to tell what he didn't want people to know yet. This is what I'm saying in essence. Peradventure, you know what we should not know. You will not be here to tell us. If you see what we should not see, you'll be translated. And that is such a deep thing to say and to think about. Strongly, the walk, the Bible says, because of Enoch, the writer of Hebrews gave a commentary that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we can deduce that why Enoch was translated was because he found some realities in God that was not in the dispensation of what he was, or was not supposed to be available in his dispensation. And if he had taught it without the manifestation of the person of Christ, it would be a contradiction. So they obtained a good report through faith. So they had a type of faith. What was their faith? Their faith was in the coming of the Messiah. The Old Testament believer, their faith was in the coming of the Messiah. From what I've said so far, do you understand? Do you understand what I've said so far? Their faith was in the coming of the Messiah. All right? The Old Testament, their faith was in the coming of the Messiah. Beautiful. Now, so let's read that Romans chapter 1, verse 17 again. Then we'll read Romans chapter 1 from verse 1. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we can find one faith. What is that faith? The faith of the Old Testament, which is the faith that the Messiah is coming. That's the faith. So what is the faith to faith? We know one faith now. The first faith is faith that the Messiah is coming. That's the faith. Now, to faith, look at Romans chapter 1 from verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel, which he promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So, he promised it concerning his son, Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of Abraham according to the flesh. So, faith in the promise, faith in the coming of the promise. That's what Paul is saying here. Then look at verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Look at verse 5. From whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. So faith to faith is faith in the coming of the Messiah, which is the Old Testament, to faith that the Messiah came. Do you understand? Faith in the coming of the Messiah to faith that the Messiah came. So when he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, it means from faith that the Messiah will come to faith that the Messiah came. Do you understand? So he's not speaking in respect to levels of faith. He's speaking in clarity in dispensation as regards faith. So we put our faith in Jesus. All right. So when he says in Galatians 5 verse 23, I'm not ashamed of the Galatians 5 verse 22 and 23, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And then he mentions faith. He's talking about living by faith. Let me see how many minutes I've used. Okay. He's talking about living by faith. Let me rush. He's talking about living by faith. Are you getting blessed? I hope you're getting blessed. He's talking about living by faith. All right. And I'm going to read Romans 1 verse 17 again. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the faith as regards the fruit of the Spirit is to live by faith. All right. And then you see faith as a gift of the Spirit, which is to demonstrate your faith. So faith as a fruit of the Spirit is living by faith. All right. And faith as a gift of the Spirit is demonstrating your faith. So faith received, faith expressed. Fruit of the Spirit, faith received. The working of the Spirit on your inside. And then the gift of the Spirit, faith expressed. So you have to understand faith in these two streams. Another very important thing I want to say, which is a reiteration of what I've always said, is that faith is not just to get your will done. Faith is not just, I exercise my faith, I want to have car, I exercise my faith. The definition of faith, let me say it in two folds. Faith is the highest level of the prophetic. I want you to write that down. Never, ever forget this. Faith is the highest level of the prophetic. The prophetic is to see and say what you saw. Faith is to see and see what you said. The prophetic is to see and say what you saw. Faith is to see and see what you said. It is the highest level of the prophetic. This means it is impossible to be a man of faith and not be prophetic. You cannot be a man of faith and not be prophetic. You see, the prophetic is so important to the life of the believer. It's a proper study that must be done. It's not something you can leave to some people. You have to, because the prophetic means to be a king and a priest. And that's what Jesus, the Bible says, he has made us kings and priests to our God. It's a very important thing in Christian work that must be done. Attention must be paid to the understanding of the prophetic. It's so important. Before Saul was anointed a king, he had to prophesy. He had to taste the prophetic. You will not be able to discern instructions as you make inquiry or you seek the face of God if you're not prophetic. And you must learn. You must learn. As much as it's a gift, all right, some people have the gift. Some people are called into that office. The Bible teaches us how to be a prophetic people. So as we talk about faith, you have to understand that we are speaking in the premise of prophecy, because you cannot have faith without hearing. Right? And you cannot have faith without speaking. And we're going to talk about that. So this is one thing I want you to understand. Number two about that is that faith means yielding to God's purpose. This is one thing that you must understand, friends. Faith means yielding to God's purpose. And I'm going to read a popular scripture I always read. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 38. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 38. He says, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell you about Gideon, and of Barak, and Samson, and Japheth, and of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith..." Listen, he said prophets, who through faith. So a prophet is not just operating by prophetic utterance. Prophetic utterance is faith. Do you understand? You cannot operate the prophetic without faith. And that means if you're operating in faith, you're doing the prophetic. That's the way it works. You cannot say you're prophetic without faith. And to be in faith is prophetic. All right? He says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword." They did these mighty things. Look at what they did through faith. They subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the allies. Women received their dead back to life again, and others were tortured. This is the dialectics of faith. Inasmuch as, okay, let me finish it. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yeah, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sworn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. So inasmuch as faith means to raise the dead back to life, faith also means to lay your life down to die. So in faith, demonstration of power is in the confines of what power is. What is the power? What is power? The power of God is the will of God. All right, so faith will mean to demonstrate the will of God. So if the will of God concerning a matter is to lay your life down and die, that's faith. If the will of God concerning that matter is to make sure that you stand your ground and say, "No, I'm not going to die," that is faith. So faith is not just changing things. Faith is changing you to God's frequency. Let me say that again. Faith is not just changing things. Faith is changing you to God's frequency. So in faith is not your will. In faith, you heard his will, and then you are speaking and doing the will of God. Just the way some people said, "No, I shall not die." Some people in faith said, "I shall die, so that I will receive a better resurrection." You have to understand faith like this. So faith is not just, you just want to talk. You have to listen before you can be in faith. So how do you know if you should resist that sack letter or that query that they gave you in the office, how do you know if you are supposed to pray against it or to accept it and say, the will of God is that I leave this firm, so because there is a better one for me? You have to hear. You have to hear. And that brings me to my other point. You cannot be in faith without a prayer life. Impossible. You cannot be in faith without a prayer life. And don't make the mistake. Prayer is not an avenue to speak only. Prayer is an avenue to listen. Prayer, you call it praying, he calls it talking. Prayer is an avenue to listen. When you are praying, God is just talking. It's an avenue to listen. You have to understand that. So always give room in your prayer time to hear. Look at the impressions in your heart. And then faith will be walking in the realities of those things that has been impressed in your heart or that you heard. It's very important. Another thing I want to say is this. No one can set the perimeters for them to walk in faith. You are not the one to determine how faith will be. It doesn't work that way. Peradventure you did and it worked. You stumbled on the will of God. You will not always get results. Let me say that again. Peradventure you did. You stumbled on the will of God. It just happened that that was God's will. And that's why it worked. But it won't always be like that. And people that are frustrated in the usage of their faith, Oje, Leni, Koje, Lola, that means it worked today, it did not work tomorrow. It's because they are taking chances. They are not listening. No one sets the perimeter for them to walk in faith. If faith comes by hearing, you have to hear how to exercise the faith. Mark 15, verse 31 to 32. Mark 15, verse 31 to 32. It says, likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that are crucified with him revealed him. Now, what they were asking Jesus to do, I don't know if you notice, they were asking Jesus to service how they wanted to have faith in him. They said, Jesus, listen, you said you are the Messiah and we should have faith in you. If we will have faith in you, this is what you will do. This is what you will do. If you don't do this thing, I will not have faith in you. Listen, don't play games with God. He is a king. You cannot tell God how you want to have faith. That's no faith. Don't be like the chief priests that were mocking Jesus. Shebi, you want us to believe in you? Come down. Come down from the cross. When you come down from the cross, we will believe. You don't determine the perimeters for faith. You don't have that luxury. God, unless you do this, unless you do that, I will not move. You will not move. Let me tell you something. Pay attention. Give me a second. I want to show you something. Can we turn our Bibles? Oh, this should bless you. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 11. Genesis 11, verse 31. See what the Bible says. Then Terah took his son Abram. So this is Abram, right? Abram that became Abraham. Then Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. how does this link with what I was saying before? You don't determine the parameters for walking in faith. Just like those guys said, God, Jesus, if you are the Christ, come down. If you don't come down, we will not believe. If you are doing like that, it doesn't affect God. Do you know why? Because when God calls you, he calls you as a nation. Ah, I can't wait to tell you what I want to say. When God calls you, he calls you as a nation. This is the point I'm trying to make. From Genesis 11, 31 to 32, what you notice is that God didn't call Abraham. God called Abraham's father, Terah. Let me read it to you again. And Terah took his son, Abram, which is Abraham, and grandson, Lot, and the son of Aaron, and his wife, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, his son, Abram's wife. And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to the land of Canaan. So Abraham's family, or Abraham's father, Terah, was going to Canaan. But he decided to dwell in Aaron, and God immediately called his son to continue the journey. Peradventure, God told you to do something and you are wasting time. The call will jump on your seed. You are the one that will come to pass and waste. Do you understand what I'm saying? The journey to Canaan was Terah's journey. But because he chose to dwell in Haran, then God transferred that calling, all right, to Abraham, which is Abraham. Now, let me read what is fascinating. All right. If you trace the genealogy of Abraham and their father, Terah, you realize that they were sons of Noah. So the call has always been, let me show you what I'm saying. Ah, we don't have time to read. If you start from Genesis 11 verse 10, you will see that name Shem. Let's go to Genesis 4. The Bible says, Genesis 4. The Bible talks about Genesis 4 from verse 25. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore his son, and called his name Seth. For God, she said, had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he was called Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So the genealogy starts from Abraham to Seth, and then from Seth, it moves to Noah, and from Noah to Terah, and from Terah to Abraham. So it looks as though all through scriptures, God was operating with one family. Because what God calls is a seed. That seed is a nation. So if you are determining the perimeters of your faith, let me give an example. God says, go and start something. If you don't do it, chances are your son will do it or your daughter will do it. Some of you are doing what your parents refuse to do. Me, I have investigated. I know where the calling came from. It's my mother. The call was upon my mother's head. Aori kukun is what made it transfer to me easily. Seed. What God calls is a seed, and that seed is a nation. So this is what I'm saying. In other words, no one sets perimeters for working their faith. Don't tell God how you want to believe. You waste your life. He will show you how it ought to be. I hope you understand this. Now, I want to say something also very important. How to be strong in faith. How to be strong in faith. I need to teach you this. How to be strong in faith. How to be strong in faith. This season that we're trusting God, we're fasting and praying, how can we be strong in faith? Number one is, for you have to understand that for every dimension of God that you want to see, you have to put yourself in those situations. Every dimension of God that you want to see, you have to put yourself in those situations. You will not know that God is mighty in battle, if you don't fight battles. You will not know that there is something called Jehovah Jireh if there is no need for provision. So it means you will have to be in situations to see revelations or dimensions of God. You don't pray for it. You put yourself in those situations, or life will put you in those situations. So as you journey in God, all the revelations of God that you read in the Bible, they are supposed to be experiential. You will experience it. So as a Christian, you don't say God forbid, you will experience lack in one way or the other. Do you understand? If you are not experiencing lack of money, you might experience lack of people. If you are not experiencing lack of people, you might experience lack of idea. There are some people that their problem is how to spend the money. They don't know what to do with it, but look no further. Your solution is here. Just give me the money. I'll help you spend it for the gospel very well. But that's just on a lighter note. But the truth is this. It's not lighter note, too. But eventually you have maybe like some $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 that you are not using. You know, I can help you use it. And it will be on record in heaven that, you know, you did well. Amen. But that's so important. For every dimension of God that you want to see, you have to put yourself in those situations. So if you want to see God as a healer or as healing, you will have to put yourself in a situation to lay hands on the sick. Don't say, oh God, I want to know the power of God can heal. And you have never tried to heal. You will never see it. You have to be in those situations to be able to see the revelation of God and the might of God in those situations. So peradventure you are trusting God, you will soon know, agazonish, in this fasting period, you're going to know him as a provider. Peradventure you're trusting God for a body healing, you're going to know him as healing in this fasting period. Peradventure you're trusting God for, you know, a life partner, you're going to know him as a bridegroom, a father. Say a big amen to that. Peradventure you're trusting God for wisdom, you're going to see that he has been made unto us wisdom. Peradventure you're trusting him pertaining to ministry, you're going to see his mighty hand. Shout a big amen. All right. So how to be strong in faith, number one, is to understand that for every dimension of God you want to see, you have to put yourself in those situations. Number two is association. Association. If you're going to be strong in faith, if you're a Shadrach, you have to have a Meshach and Abednego. If you're a Shadrach, you have to have a Meshach and Abednego. Association will help you be strong in faith. Peradventure, you're feeling weak. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. There is a sharpness that you can enjoy as regards to association that will help you. When Samuel wanted to make Saul prophesy, he said, go to Ramah. You will find a company of prophets there. Let me teach you something about spiritual gifts. If you see any gift in any man that you like, pray for him, it's true, but stay close to him. Spiritual gifts spread by proximity. Listen, do your research. I need you to take time. If you're going to be a minister of the gospel, you must know how to do research. Anything you see Benny Hinn doing, it was because of proximity to Catherine Kuma. Go and do your research very well. Anything you are close to, if you have a friend that can pray, the spirit of prayer will come upon you strong. If you join a teaching ministry, you are going to be a good teacher. That's the way it works. Proximity is the fastest way to receive impartation. It's faster than even laying of hands. That's why Paul said in Romans 1 verse 11, he says, I want to come to you that I might impart you with spiritual gifts. The coming to you, listen, so you can get the context. When he says, he didn't say that I might lay hands on you. He said, I want to come to you. Let's read it. Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to tell you the balance of that. He says, Romans chapter 1 verse 11, for I long to see you. He didn't say write to you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gifts to the end that it may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. In other words, how is the impartation going to come? The impartation will come because I will be close to you, because I'm coming to you. In other words, he was saying this impartation is proximity. I cannot pray this thing upon you. You have to see me do it and see that it is possible. That was the same thing Elijah told Elisha. He said, if you can see me. What he meant by if you can see me is not if you look at me going, because the Bible says there were prophets at the other end looking. So it's not about a physical if you can see. He was saying, if you have been seeing me before, what does that mean? The only way God will be able to open your eyes to see me translated is that you must have been praying the way I've been praying. If you had been seeing my prayer life, you will be able to see what I can see because of my prayer life. He said, if you can see me, that means if you have been joining me, if you have been following me, if you have been doing what I've been doing, he said, then you will receive a double portion. He didn't pray for him. He didn't lay hands on him. The impartation was that others were far, he was close. Elijah was his master. Proximity. So
you should come to us in Lagos. Bye-bye. We want proximity.
Yes, I will come to you. So it's important. That proximity is too important. All right? That's what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. If you're going to be strong in faith, association is important. You will need people that will talk sense. Don't have friends that you people sympathize and cry with each other. That's no friendship. Am I saying not to bear each other's burden? Bear each other's burden by carrying the burden. Not by crying, how will we carry it? When you are down, let your friend be able to strengthen you. When that your friend is down, you too should be able to strengthen. That's what is called friendship.
I'm sad. Me too. Life. I'm tired of life. Even me. I'm suicidal. Me too, I'm suicidal.
Somebody that you say, stop that. What do you mean by suicidal? Christ died for this life. You want to die for what Christ died for? You want to waste what Christ died for? That's what you say to Jesus. You say, even me, I'm suicidal. God will help us through it. You talk sense into that friend. So association is very important. Number three is this. Remember that God is faithful. That's a way to be strong in faith. Remember that God is faithful. See things that he has done in the past. We are quick to move on. Don't be like that. We are quick to move on. Let me show you how God speaks, or how God was speaking to the children of Israel. Numbers 15 verse 41. God wants you to see his track record and trust him. Numbers 15 verse 41. Tosin, it's so good to see you. I've missed you so much. Numbers 15 verse 41. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Remember that God brought you. This is a good question as well. Okay, I'm going to see how to answer that. And the first one, okay, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, to be your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you. So God wants you to remember where he brought you from. Look at Numbers 20 verse 16. Numbers 20 verse 16. Numbers 20 verse 16. It says, but when we cried out to the Lord, he heard us. He heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. Now behold, we are at Kadesh, a town on the edge of your territory. Listen to what I want to say. Pay attention. The context of what I'm saying is that God brought you out of Egypt. So God is saying, listen, I brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Trust me. Now, our own Egypt is before we were saved. So this is what God is preaching to them. Inasmuch as I saved you, I'm responsible for you. God said, remember, I brought you out of darkness. Is it inside light I will not provide? Remember, even when you were in Egypt, I gave you principles that will safeguard your firstborn. I fed you. I covered you. In the wilderness, I covered you. I gave you salvation, something you didn't work for. You were in the dark. I called you out of darkness and gave you the most important thing in life, which is life. He says, trust me. So anytime you are faced with adversities, the first thing you should remember to trust God is that if God can deliver me from my old ways, he will deliver new things to my life. It's so important. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. But he brought us out from there to bring us in. God didn't bring us out to leave us there outside. He brought us out to bring us in and give us the land he promised an oath to our ancestors. In this case, our ancestor is Christ. So God cannot bring us out if he doesn't want to take us in. And if he has brought us out to take us in, it is because of the promise he has made to the person of the Christ. So God has to be faithful to the proclivities of the treaty for the death of Jesus Christ for you. Jesus said, if you believe in me, whatsoever you ask in my name shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. So there is a connection. And that's very important. Look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Being confident of this. Ah, shakarabaye. Tazurubaya. That's the word. Being confident. If it was the psalmist, he would have said something like, for surely. If it was Paul, all right, another lingua that Paul will use is, I am fully persuaded. Being confident of this, that he that has begun a good work will bring it to a completion. In other words, he is saying that God will not start what he cannot complete. Do you know what that means? Everything that God starts in your life, how can God start a project and not have enough to finish it? And like I will always tell you, God doesn't start to finish. He finishes to start. Until it is done, he will not begin. Salvation is not, let us live, then it will now, Jesus will now say it is finished. No. It's finished for us to begin. So the death of Jesus, the end of Jesus, our faith started in death. When the work was complete, then salvation was handed over. Do you understand that? Until he ended it, he didn't begin it. So if God has started a walk with you, the walk has ended. That's why he began. Until there was completion, in the spirit realm. Because he said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So everything that you're seeing manifest on earth was a will done already on earth, in heaven, that is now being established or being manifested in the earth. Until the will has been done in heaven, God is not going to tell anybody about it in the earth. So if there is anything that you are trusting God for, once God gave you that word, just know that it has finished. That's why he began it with you. That's very important. And then the last one I'm going to say today, and then tomorrow I'll finish how to be strong in faith. Just one point for tomorrow. And then we'll spend time tomorrow to be able to declare the word of God. We will read prophecies over our lives. All right? But this is a good one to start the week, you know, to start the week of fasting and prayer with the word of God. Another way to be strong in faith is to give thanks. Type it there, say give thanks. I'm going to read to you Romans chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Faith and grace work together. Yes. Faith and grace works together. So some people think faith is mechanical. No. Faith is a product of unmerited favor. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith, of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. All right, look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and call those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Romans 14, verse 19 now. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his body now dead. Another translation says, the deadness of his body. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at that, verse 20. Romans 4, I'm reading Romans 4, 16 to 21. Romans 4, 16 to 21. Romans 4, 16 to 21. He says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Can somebody put that for us? Romans 4, verse 20. Can somebody put that, type that for us? Romans 4, verse 20. I need you to see this. So powerful. You know, when the word of God tells you clearly, it's so powerful. There's no reason to try to add scriptures. It's clear how to be strong in faith. See what the word of God says. Romans 4, verse 20. Romans 4, verse 20. Let's rush, guys, so we can prophesy and pray. Romans 4. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So the way to be strong in faith is to give glory to God. Look at Emmanuel's translation. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So the way to be strong in faith is to give glory to God. As weird as that seems, that's how to get strong. So it doesn't look like what you declared came to pass. Give him glory. You are getting stronger in faith. You confess things. It didn't work. It looked like it didn't work. Because it does. Because sometimes your case might just be like Jesus. You cut the fig tree and it started to wither from its roots, not the branches. by the time you come back to check, you're going to realize that it had withered from its roots. So when you said it, it didn't change because what you said entered into the roots. It staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The next verse says, being fully persuaded that what God has promised is able to fulfill. Shout a big amen. What God has promised is able to fulfill. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, being confident that what God has promised is able to fulfill. So your confidence is not what you are saying. Your confidence is who said it. How can God lie? Arabashto. How can God lie? How can something challenge God's word? How can God be God and there is something that will not submit to his Godship? It's impossible. God cannot lose. The Bible says the train of his robe fills the temple. You have to understand the culture. When a king in those days, if you're a king and you win wars, the train, the robe of the other king, you will add the robe to your own robe. So when the Bible says the train of his robe fills the temple, it means he's a conqueror. He has taken robes from everybody. You have to be confident that he spoke. God spoke. The Bible says, let all men be liars. Let only God be true. You can be a David. You have been anointed king. It will take process. You are going to be around the palace, but you will not sit on the throne. But guess what? Even when you enter the wilderness, you're going to find your way back to that palace to sit. You will just have to trust the word of God. That's what the devil comes for. Your job is not his problem. If your job will distract you from praying, the devil will not take it. If your job will distract you from going to church, the devil will even give you promotion so that you can be more distracted. Because what we call blessing, and I've taught you people before, blessing means God is with me. Prosperity means God is with me. Blessing means to receive the promise of the Father. To be blessed means to have communion with God. That's what it means to be blessed. To have communion with God. That's what Jacob received from Isaac. Esau was still rich. But when Isaac laid his hands on Jacob, the Bible says the next thing that happened to him in chapter 28 was what? Angelic encounters. That's the blessing. I'm in communion with God. Hallelujah. So be confident. Now, let me tell you one thing that should make you really, really confident, and you should rejoice about this. God said, none of the expectations of the righteous shall be cut short. The expectations of the righteous shall not be cut short. Do you have an expectation this fasting period? And you are asking in his name. What you have written down is not for self. What you have written down is for the betterment of the people around you. It's for the advancement of the gospel. Listen, it can be personal and still be gospel-based. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when I say it's for the advancement of the gospel, don't think I'm just talking about just church, or local assembly. No. Listen, to want a job will help the gospel. To want an idea, to receive invention, to receive an idea for an invention will help the gospel. Because guess what? You are the carrier of the gospel. To be fine in your body will advance the gospel. Listen, now person where they are alive, they preach you. If you are not okay, you will just be talking like Jeremiah. So you have to understand this. It is not carnal to pray for yourself because you are pivotal to the gospel. You are pivotal to the gospel. He says, how can they hear if there is no preacher? You are pivotal to the gospel. So look at your expectations and laugh. All my expectations will be met. 21 days, all my expectations will be met. Ah, PD is 7 days already, 7 days already, 7 days already. Come on, this is God. Ah, what are you saying? This is God we are talking about. This is not your earthly father. This is not your pastor. This is not you. This is God. This is not your boss. Your life can change in a minute. Your life can change in a minute. Oh, listen, I have so many testimonies. I have so many testimonies. The kind of favor I have enjoyed, the kind of blessings I have enjoyed from last week Friday to today. Ah. We are in a Kairos moment. I'm not preaching what I don't know. Ah! We are in a Kairos moment. I want you to lift your voice. Begin to pray in other tongues right now. Begin to pray in other tongues. Insist. Lagaroshi Namaya. All my expectations will be met. My number one expectation this season is that your expectations are met. That's my number one. And I'm so excited because my own expectation will not be cut short. So yours will not be cut short. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Landro shikra basunde babahaya. Rogo tu shi progi de monto zafrobande kosonte. Rendo shanga di grebango poteza krehide bandu kahata.